Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide, daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the global financial crisis right after this. And let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious by now that something's wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we now see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools and our public institutions, and we have made them a part of our national psyche. And I say this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Now, are you aware that your daughter, for instance, couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged? That's right, an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. And that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You see, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that's still teaching this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, or the Law of God, or the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which are just the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's free, and it's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, and then click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page. Hey, we've been talking about this global financial crisis, and as I speak, I'm just watching a little blurb on TV last night. And Senator Alan Simpson, here in the United States, Senator Alan Simpson, he was the senator from Wyoming for many years, and a fellow by the name of Erskine Bowles, who was President Clinton's economic advisor, they chaired, one of them's a Democrat, one of them's a Republican, and they chaired a committee of 18 members, bipartisan members of Congress, on how to solve our financial problem here in the United States. See, the United States has spent itself into bankruptcy now, and we're in the process of going bankrupt. And all of you people around the world that we Americans owe money to, you Canadians up there, you know you sell us oil every day, and we send you pieces of paper called IOUs, and we say, well, we promise to pay. And all of you people in China and Brazil and around the world, and you expect to get paid someday. Well, you're not going to get paid. Okay, so put that one out of your mind. We are going to stiff you. We are going to renege on all of those promises, and you're not going to get your money. And you're going to be very, very upset when that happens. And there's going to be riots in the streets, and there's going to be all kinds of hell to pay. Now, we knew we were going bankrupt in 1971. And many of these newsletter writers that I've been quoting to you, you know, guys like The Privateer, you know, in Australia, and Bob Chapman here in the United States, and now I'm going to read you an article here from Franklin Sanders in The Money Changer. These people have been telling us now for years and years that if we continue on down this road, we're going to go bankrupt, and there's going to be hell to pay in the process. And now, yep, we are going bankrupt, and we are. And these chair people, this is Senator Simpson and Erskine Bowles now, came over the air, and they said, this is serious, and we got to take action. And so they leaked to the press. They gave a little forerunner of what they would do in order to balance the budget and start paying down the debt. And Nancy Pelosi said, that's dead on arrival. So what this means is that the Democrats won't cut spending, and the Republicans won't raise taxes, and the reality of life is that you've got to cut spending and raise taxes. You've got to earn more and spend less, and then you've got to meet this debt. And so, you know, the Congress says, or at least the leaders in Congress, said, we're not going to do that. And I could have predicted that. Because democracies always collapse over economics. Every single time in the past, and all democracies cease to exist. They go out of existence over time. And this one is no exception, and we're going out of existence. And it's going to be traumatic. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But, you know, we had a choice to make, and I'm looking back to 1932. We had a choice to make, and we made it. And then every election from that point forward, with this Keynesian style of economics, you know, the socialist ideology, we've had choices to make, and we made the choices. And now we have to live with the outcomes. We have to live now with the conclusions to those decisions. Now, in the last program, I told you about Bob Chapman and the International Forecaster, and I gave him high marks, and I told you that this is number one on the list. I want to give you his name and number because I'm not sure if I remembered. I got thinking about it after the program. I said, did I give his name and number? Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster, that's www.intforecaster.com. Okay, so that's www.intforecaster.com, and that'll get you to their webpage, and then you can go from there, and I recommend them number one. Now, the next one here, the privateer, remember that one, privateer? I put him right up there at the very top also because he's a great educator. His name is Bill Buckler, and that's the www.the-privateer.com. Okay, then I told you about Joel Skousen, you know, he puts out an economics news. Well, it's actually World Affairs Brief. It's more political and newsy than it is economic, but he also covers economics. That's World Affairs Brief, and I don't have an address for him. You'll have to Google him out. But I want to bring up here this last program here, the story here on Are Markets Manipulated and Does It Matter? And it's written by this guy Franklin Sanders in The Money Changer. Now, The Money Changer comes out once a month, about 12 issues a year, maybe 11. I think he takes August off. And it's in a newspaper format, 12 pages. And this guy is really good. And I'm going to show you why I rank him so high in my estimation. He's a great teacher. So if you're a truck driver, a housewife, and you don't understand economics and the history behind it and so on, well, join the club. It's a mystery, and it's made a mystery on purpose so that you and I can't understand what the hell these bankers are doing to us. And that's why the privateer and Franklin Sanders, that's Buckler and Sanders, are so good, because they write these articles that explain to us, lay people, here's what they're doing to you. This is the way they're screwing you. And here's the way they do it and cover it up and make you feel real good about it and vote for them. Every election, you keep voting for these very people that are screwing you, blueing you, and tattooing you, and somebody needs to explain that to you, and this is just a great guy to do that. And he has an article here called Are Markets Manipulated and Does It Matter? It's from the February 2010. You know, it's a few months old now, but it's an example of this guy's genius in ferreting out and showing us, the lay people, here's what the problem is. I never would have figured this out by myself. I'm, if you're like me, you're just dumb as a box of rocks. And you have to have somebody that can explain it to you. So you've got these politicians. They come over here with sound bites and say, vote for me. And Nancy Pelosi said this. She said, you vote for me, and there'll be no tax increases, and we will rein in the deficits, and everybody's going to live happily ever after. And then we voted for her, and the Democrats, in 2008. Now, they gave us socialized medicine. That's a $1 trillion tax increase. That's just off the top. And then they're proposing more tax increases, and they have bloated the deficit more than George Bush did, which is the reason we voted that jerk out, because he was a socialist in disguise. And so why do these guys keep doing that, and why do we keep voting them in? Well, Sanders says this. He says, lately I read an article about market manipulation that startled me, and it started me to thinking. Most official mouthpieces in government and media deny that the U.S. government and Federal Reserve manipulate the financial markets. Or maybe once in a while they grudgingly admit that it is done once in a while, but applauded it for necessity's sake. On the other hand, the Internet is peopled with hordes of conspiracy theorists who see the government's invisible hand behind every move in the market every day. And inevitably, they run into extremes that paint their work a very big, bright, ridiculous. Well, back in the late 1990s, after the Thailand currency crisis and the Russian bond default, President Clinton convened the Financial Vulnerabilities. It was a project, Financial Vulnerabilities Project, through the Council on Foreign Relations. And they were supposed to study financial crises and discover ways to fix those. So over a year and a half, they held meetings and powwows, and they even war-gamed financial crises with four teams of bureaucrats in the Harold Pratt House, feeding them crises information bit by bit to hone their crises reaction skills. But unfortunately, their report has been removed from the Internet. But reading that report left me with an altered and deepened understanding of how they approach a crisis. And, of course, because today government runs the economy, well, they at least run it for whoever bosses the government. Government always is involved in fixing financial crises, and the fix demands manipulation. So do governments manipulate markets? Well, the short answer is a pig's butt pork. Well, lying in bed this morning, floating in and out of sleep, nearly a dozen witnesses occurred to me. Black Friday, the 24th of September, 1869. To break Fisk and Gould's attempted gold market corner, President Grant ordered the sale of government gold, breaking the gold market and manipulators. The manipulators had already been influencing Treasury policy not to sell gold. Then the Federal Reserve was founded in 1913, and from the planning and outset, a scheme to manipulate interest rates and with them the entire economy. Then there was the Gold Reserve Act of 1934, which was established an exchanged stabilization fund with express statutory purpose and mandate of enabling the U.S. Treasury to manipulate the price of gold and the dollar's exchange rate. Then there was the gold price from 1934 to 1971, and during this period, the U.S. government, in cooperation with other Bretton Woods signatories, kept the gold price fixed at $35 an ounce. Now that's control. When gold began to rise, the U.S. government united with Great Britain and others to form the London Gold Pool in order to control gold's price, which failed in the end. They always fail in the end. And the United States was forced off of the Bretton Woods gold convertibility standard in August of 1971. Then there was the silver price manipulation from 1934 to 1941, as documented in Alan S. Everett's book, Morgenthau, The New Deal in Silver, published in 1950. Now, that story was based on Morgenthau's diaries. Roosevelt manipulated the silver market to raise the price, driving silver from below 50 cents an ounce in 1934 to more than 90 cents an ounce, and then back to 35 cents an ounce by 1941. Now, price manipulation failed, but it created economic catastrophe in silver standard China, and it accumulated huge U.S. government supplies of silver. In fact, it was the Great American Silver Hoard, they called it. Now, the price of silver between 1941 and 1967, as silver began rising after 1945 from the hoard that Roosevelt had accumulated, the U.S. Treasury supplied huge amounts to the market to contain the price around 90 cents, losing control by the end of 1964. Manipulation failed, and the government was forced to abandon silver certificate convertibility in 1967. So that's the year, 1964. When the tipping point arrived, and so in 1965, our government started minting these sandwich coins, you know, these clad coins, because in 1964, the price of silver went up to $1.29 an ounce. See, when it was down at 90 cents an ounce and 50 and 75 cents, you know, they could mint silver money, but then, you know, when the price got up to be more, cost you more to buy the silver than the silver content of the coin, that stopped doing that. So, the gold price back in the 1970s, in the U.S. Treasury staged periodic gold auctions to suppress rising gold prices. The gold rose from $35 an ounce in 1965 to $850 an ounce in 1980. Again, you can see here the manipulation failed. Then there was the stock market crash in 1987. The Wall Street Journal article in December of 1987 details, they don't just detail, they brag about the manipulation by the Federal Reserve and its chairman, Alan Greenspan, and Treasury officials to contain the crash. Including now, selling futures in the tiny platinum market after hours in order to spike the price of gold. Now, the stock market in 1987 versus today. Well, responding to the stock market crash of 1987 by executive order now, executive order 12,631. On March 18th, 1988, President Ronald Reagan created the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, also known as the Plunge Protection Team. Official propaganda claims the PPT does not intervene directly in markets, but this claim only confirms that well-known law of government candor, and that is, you can always tell when government officials are lying because their lips are moving. So is it intervention or not when government and Federal Reserve officials lean on bank and stock market executives to buy stock futures or act through agents? You'll see the Wall Street Journal article mentioned in the preceding item. Now, the world's central bankers meet in Basel, Switzerland every month. Once a month, they have a meeting there. The central bankers of the world. And once a month, these heads of the world's central banks meet at the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, and they go to supper there. Now, if you think they only talk about the smothered chicken, your naivete cannot be cured. Now, since all fiat currencies are inconvertible, all exchange rates are imaginary, and they're managed. And although allegedly determined by markets, every nation's central bank intervenes in markets to manipulate the value of their currency, and they all work together to do the same worldwide. Now, we have what we call in this country the United States interest rates, and it is no secret that the U.S. Federal Reserve manipulates interest rates. In fact, they publish their targets. And Alan Greenspan's manipulation of money creation and interest rates fueled the stock market bubble into the year 2000, and then the real estate boom into the year 2006. This manipulation ended in a 350-year catastrophe. That's what we're experiencing right now, a catastrophe. But the Federal Reserve is still manipulating interest rates, and then they're still manipulating the money supply, and they're still manipulating the dollar exchange rate. So what's the difference? Well, there's no question that governments and central banks, both foreign and domestic, manipulate the markets. They do. There's just no denying that. And they always have been. This has been going on now, boys and girls, for 200 years. And outside the United States, longer than that. See, we had a U.S. National Bank in this country, created in the administration of George Washington, and it was in operation until 1836. It was President Andrew Jackson that vetoed it. So the only time that we've been without this national manipulation of our money supply has been from 1836 to 1862. That's it. And all the rest of our history, the bankers, either behind the scenes, or in many cases, like today, right out in front and up front and in your face, are manipulating the economy. Which is why I guess you guys all got mad and voted the Democrats out. But it's not just the Democrats, boys and girls, it's the Republicans and the Democrats. And this has been going on clear back. Remember, we started this article here with Ulysses S. Grant in 1869. And before that, it was the U.S. National Bank that was doing it. And it was President Thomas Jefferson that said, if you ever allow these banks now to create your money and get control of your monetary system, woe be unto you. Now, the newsletter writers that I have been citing here this week in this series of programs have been telling us the same thing. Now, they're not very well heard. And they're not, you know, they're not household names like Rush Limbaugh. I mean, you all know Rush Limbaugh, but you don't know Franklin Sanders. You probably never heard of Robert Chapman. But these guys have been writing in their newsletters, and they've been telling us now for the last, you know, 40 years in the case of Chapman, there's no free lunch, and this isn't going to go on forever, and we need to go back to gold and silver. But before that, God Almighty himself, the creator of the universe, told us in Leviticus 19, 35 and 36, and in Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16, he says, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. And then when these bankers came to us in 1913, in 1794, in 1869, and, you know, they say, hey, listen, we've got money to loan, and we're gonna print it up in these bills and stocks and bonds and notes and charge interest and usury. No, our God told us don't practice usury and interest. And so we said, well, we're smarter than God. And so we're gonna practice usury and interest, and we did. It was a choice that we had to make, and we made it. And so now we got a result that comes from it. And this is not new. This has been going on for thousands of years, and in our case here in the United States, you know, for 200 years. And so now there's the piper that needs to be paid. So I come on the air and I say, well, listen, this time somebody said, hey, look, these guys have been leading us down the primrose path. I would suggest that we go back to what worked, and that's gold and silver. And we can go back to gold and silver. I do here personally. We do here at the law school, and we teach that in our business school. You know, I'm one of the few guys in America that is not complaining about the Federal Reserve, the IRS, the United States government, or the powers that be, or Bank of America. You know, God love them. I'm not complaining about them. I don't do business with them. I'm not complaining about the Mafia or the Cosa Nostra. I don't do business with them. I'm not complaining about the United States government. I don't do business with the United States government. If you never do business with a thief, you'll never be stolen from. But if you do business with thieves, you can rest assured that those thieves at some point in time are going to get to you and they're going to steal from you. All right, so what's the difference? Well, there's no question that governments and central foreign banks and domestic banks manipulate the markets, because they do. And we mortals believe that other men look at the world pretty much the way we do. While in fact, the manipulators, you know, the guys at J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, do not view the world the way we do. The establishment, the theys, the, you know, the powers that be, the special interests, and their hired manipulators, their lackeys in government, you know, the senators and representatives and presidents and cabinet officers, the Federal Reserve, they don't care anything at all about the long run. They're not considering your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The granddaddy of all manipulation justification, now, is a fellow by the name of John Maynard Keynes. He famously responded to objections about the long-run effects of the socialist manipulation of the economy. And Keynes said this. He said the long run is a misleading guide to current affairs. In the long run, we're all dead. And he wrote that in a book called Tract on Monetary Reform in 1923. He said in the long run, we're all dead. We're not concerned about the collapse of the economy. We're not concerned about bankruptcies of nations. We're concerned about today, here and now, today, tomorrow, and next week, the short run. Now, we bought into this program, and here we are, and we're not going back. You're not going to undo what's been done. It's like playing a game of chess, and you lost your queen 3 moves ago. Okay, you're going to play the rest of this game with no queen. Make up your mind to it. It's the way life is. You may win, you may lose, but you're not going to have a queen to play with. Now, we mortals do care. Now, we, Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives, you know, we mortals know that because our own resources are limited, we cannot take on more debt than we can carry. We, unlike these manipulators in their ivory towers, in the Treasury, and in the Congress, we cannot print money, but they can. They do not care at all to what heights the total debt burden climbs, both private and government, because they know they will continue to inflate the currency and print away the debt. Now, the debt really doesn't matter to them. All that really matters is meeting the interest payments and avoiding a crisis. And they know, as then New York Fed Chairman Beardsley Rummel bragged to the American Bar Association at the end of 1945, that any government that has a central bank to issue an unbacked currency has been freed from the tyranny of the bond market. And they don't care one whit whether they can ruin the dollar or not. So the trend wins in the end. The market's primary trend will eventually overwhelm the pitifully inadequate manipulation. Even the manipulators do not disagree, and yet they manipulate still, and they're very effective at it. And given their goals, because their time horizon is not the next decade or the next century, it's not even 5 years from now, or even 1 year or 6 months, or even 1 week. For them, time ends every day. If they can contain the market for one more day, they have succeeded in their goal. They specialize in crisis management. Crisis management. They live from day to day. Now, one of these days, it isn't going to work. It's going to quit. And when this happened in France, we had what was known as the French Revolution. And that was a bloody sordid affair. I don't think anybody would deny that, and I don't think that when we go through it here, it's going to be any more pleasant for us than it was for them. But you know, boys and girls, we've made our decision, and we've cast our votes, and now, you know, there's payday. You know, as they say down at the card room, you know, when the dealer deals them out the second round, he says, there they are, boys, read them and weep. Read them and weep. Now, control at the margin is what these guys are after, and we'll talk about control at the margin and how these guys do this when we come back. But let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it at the number 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click onto the archives page when you get there, and you can download that free general law CD package right there, georgegordon.org, archives page. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Now, keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the global financial crises, global financial crises. It's called in the Bible the Great Tribulation, and I pointed out to you, I said, take a look at Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. And then remember, read them and weep. There's another guy involved in this outcome. It's God, the Creator. You know, he made a contract with our great-great-great-great-great-granddaddies, you know, way back in biblical times, back in 1329 B.C. He stood up on the mountain there, Mount Sinai, Mount Arabia. It's over across the Gulf of Aqaba. And he said, hey, boys and girls, let me pitch you a deal. And he did. It's called a tender offer in law. We call that a tender offer. He tendered the offer, and our great-granddaddy said, you know, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. You'll see that recorded in Exodus 24, verses 7 and 8. And the deal was made, and there's a contract. And that contract is recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8. And you and I are in breach of contract. No big mystery about that. We have not fulfilled our end of the deal, and so now we've got a penal clause coming down around our ears. And Erskine Bowles and Alan Simpson reported, you know, they said, hey, let me tell you what's going on here. We have to take action right now. We've got to solve this debt crisis, this global financial crisis. And then the president the other day went over to South Korea to talk to the Chinese and 19 other guys over there. There's 20, I'm calling them G20. He came out of there with exactly zero. And, you know, the rest of them are getting tired of the United States now printing money to pay off their debts. What we're doing here is we're inflating our currency and paying it off with cheaper dollars, which means we're reneging on what we agreed to. We agreed to pay you $1,000, but when it's all said and done, you'll be lucky if you get 900 in purchasing power, 900. I got news for the Chinese. They're going to end up with about 10%. So all those big screen TVs and shoes and all the stuff that they've been sending over here. And the final analysis, we Yanks are going to pay them about 10 cents on the dollar in real purchasing power. And those guys are going to come unhinged. Wars get started over screwing people over like that. And I wouldn't doubt for a minute that that's going to be the net outcome. Well, based upon what I see in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Now, getting back here to the money changer, let me give you his name and number. It's Franklin Sanders, money changer, post office box 178 in West Point, Tennessee. And the zip code is 38486. I know you didn't get that all down, so get your pen and paper out there. Phone number is 888-218-9226. Once more on that phone number, 888-218-9226. I would imagine this paper is probably about $100 a year. Don't quote me on that because I don't know what the price is, but something on that order. Well, maybe there's a number in here. Let me flip over here to page 2. Price, 12 issues, 14 silver dollars. It's $14 a year. See that? Or $22 in U.S. 90% silver coin. Well, look at that. Here's a guy dealing in just weights and balances. Okay, so here's the price right here on page 2. The money changer is 12 issues, 14 silver dollars, or $22 in U.S. silver coin. So if you pay for it in dimes, quarters, or 50 cents, 50 cent piece is $22. Isn't that special? That's the way I price my schools is in hard money. And he does the money changer the same way. All right, now, this is Franklin Sanders, the money changer, P.O. Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, 38486. All right, now, I put him very high on my list, and that's because he's such a good teacher, and that's what this article is all about. And every month, he'll have an article or two in here, and he explains the history behind this, or who's doing what to who, and how does this work. And so for lay people like myself, just dumb as I am, I'm getting smarter and smarter as I progress along here. I can at least see why God gave us just weights and balances. And I can see the benefits that come from it, and I can report to you that since I changed to it, I'm one of the few guys around. I'm not complaining. Hell, I'm doing fine. I'm employed. I got a job. And I'm getting paid, and then I can pay my bills, and I'm not in debt, and so on. And then I teach a business school, and I'm saying, I'd like to show you how to do the same thing. That's all. I'll show you how to do it. I'll show you what I did. I'll show you what this guy Sanders is telling you. Same thing here with Bob Chapman. He's been telling the same thing. All of these writers are saying the same thing. You got to have gold and silver coin. Wake up and smell the coffee. And unless our government wants to go back to gold and silver, all they're going to do is offer you more of the same. And if you buy into more of the same, you get more of the same results, just like you've got today. If that's what you want, stick with the program. You got a proven winner. Now, if you're not happy with what's going on around you and you want to change, don't wait for the Democrats and Republicans to produce change, because the two of them working together are not going to produce the change that you want. But you can do it yourself. You don't need government. You don't need Senator Simpson. I don't need Erskine Bowles or President Obama or Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid. I don't give a rat's rectum what they do. I've got my own agenda. I practice a different law. I dance to a different song, and I march to a different tune. And that's, after all, what God told us to do in Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5. He said, don't practice the law of the United States. Practice my law. You'll be better off for it. So I just wanted to point that out to you. Now, look, control begins at the margin. Ponder a 10-ton pile of sand. You can't move that pile of sand by your own puny resources or self, because that would take a bulldozer. However, around the edges and at the margin, you can keep the sand from running and washing away. You can pick up some light 1x10 boards. You can set those 1x10s at the edge of this pile at the margin. Now, without a bulldozer, long-term or not, the whole pile has been contained. Manipulators are not trying to control the entire market. That's too big. But then they don't need to control the whole pile of sand. They just need to contain the sand that's washing down and washing away. And they've done that at the margins. They only seek to control it where their resources are most efficiently used at the margin and only for today. Now, the price at the margin. Think of the U.S. stock market. The stock market is worth trillions of dollars. Now, that's an unimaginably huge sum of money. And that would have to be spent to buy those stocks to move that market. But who needs a bulldozer when you have a 1x10? You have the boards at the margin, namely stock market futures. So what you buy, or you unleash your running dogs to buy S&P 500 future contracts. They rise, and arbitragers are watching the market. Then they rush in and buy those underlying stocks. That's what we call leverage. So you use a tiny amount of your own money to entice other people to throw their money in your direction. Or let's consider the gold market. The gold market is huge. The silver market, by comparison, is very tiny. Everyone who watches gold watches silver as well, and over time they rise and fall together. So to manipulate gold, you sell silver. And you say, what? What? You have no silver? That's no problem. No problem. What you do is you sell silver futures contracts, which you will never have to make delivery against. You create silver right out of thin air. And you sell and you sell and you sell that paper silver until falling silver spooks, and then it spooks the gold buyers. Leverage, boys and girls, is at the margin. And that's what the manipulators use. And they don't care a whit about the long term or the primary trend. They only care about containing the trend until the day ends. They make their money day to day. They make it going up and they make it going down. Now, you and I can't do that. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough expertise. We don't know what the hell we're doing. But those guys manipulate us. They've got us buying stocks and bonds and futures and 401ks and bank accounts. And they got us out here doing all these things. They send us to public school and they teach us this thing. They create their customer. And then we take it in the shorts. Every time you and me, we take it in the shorts. Now, to suppress the gold price effectively, the manipulators would have to stop inflating the money supply, which they cannot do because money creation is the beating heart of their power. But the manipulators' strategy already takes into account the longer-term doomed nature of all of their efforts. That's why they operate off a line in the sand. The manipulators want to prevent a hyperinflationary explosion. They want a slow burn instead. So they need only contain gold so it doesn't run away. That's why the price of gold has moved up from $300 an ounce to $1,400 an ounce over the last 10 years. It's a slow burn, and they're containing it. They can't keep it down. They can't reverse it back to $300. You know, the cat's out of the bag, but they can keep it from going to 2,000. And here's the way they do it. Now listen up. 82% of all of the transactions in the gold market are done on paper contracts. So what happens is this. You pick up the telephone, you call your broker, and you say, Bob, I want to buy $100,000 worth of gold. And he says, okay, I'm going to sell you a futures contract for $100,000. He writes it up, and you send him in a check for about $5,000 or $10,000. Yeah, about 10%, $10,000. So you send him a check for $10,000 for future delivery. That is, next year, you want $100,000 worth of gold, and the price today is $1,350. All right, so you're betting long that the market is going to go up. You don't know how much, but, you know, I think the market next year at this time is going to be higher. So you buy this futures contract. Now, if the price of gold actually goes down to $1,300, your broker calls you and he says, hey, you now have to cover that $50 differential. Send us a $20,000 check, or we're going to keep your $10,000 and you're out of the game. So you send another $20,000. Now you're in $30,000. The price is $1,300. You're still betting long. Now the price of gold goes up to $1,400. Now you don't really want the gold, so you just sell the contract back to your broker. You call him up and say, hey, know that contract I bought for $10, and then I made my margin call for $20? I'm in $30. I want to sell that $100,000 contract tomorrow. And your broker says, fine, I'll sell that contract. And he goes up and he sells it to some guy for $1,400 for a year in the future for delivery. See, it's all done on paper. And as long as it's done on paper, they can get away with that forever. Now, 18% of the market is done in physicals, people like me. Now, when I go down to my gold broker and I say, I want to buy an ounce of gold, I put the $1,350 on the counter and I walk out with my gold coin. I actually take it with me. You see, all of these manipulators know that no one is going to come in. All the people aren't going to come in and demand their gold all at the same time. That's the way they're getting away with it. And as long as 82% of the market's in paper and 18% is in physical, they got no problems. No problems at all. They just keep printing. They're just creating all this paper gold right out of thin air. In fact, to give you an illustration, they have now sold into the future gold, which represents 15 years of production. If they had to pay off, everybody wanted to collect their gold in physical gold, you'd have to wait 15 years to get your gold. We produce about 2,500 tons of gold a year worldwide, and we sell 3,700 tons a year. They're selling 1,200 tons a year, 50% more than is being produced. Been doing that now for the last 30, 40 years. So you've got this great, huge shortfall in the market. Doesn't make any difference because everybody's holding paper. There was a fellow, I don't know, they call him a heavyweight, from Saudi Arabia. He went up to the Bank of Nova Scotia the other day and he said, let me see my gold. He walks into the gold vault and he sees all these pallets of gold in there. And he said, now, how much gold have you got? And they said, well, the amount of gold that's in this room amounts to $3 billion or something like that. I don't know how much it was. And this guy, a Saudi Arabian prince, would be my guess as to who this is, heavy hitter, Saudi Arabia. He says, hell, I've got more than that myself. So here's a guy walks in and says, let me see the gold. And they say, okay, here's $3 billion worth. He says, well, I've got $6 billion on deposit here. And you've only got three? See, that's where the world is. I don't know what the outcome of it was. I imagine he was pretty upset. I'd be pretty upset, too, you know, if I thought I had gold in the warehouse. Now, here's what they're doing. You've got your gold in the warehouse, and they charge you a storage fee for it. So they're charging this guy for storing $6 billion worth of gold in their warehouse, but they've only got three in there. So they're cheating him by charging him storage on $3 billion that doesn't even exist. Then if he walked in today and said, give me my $6 billion worth of gold, I'm moving it to another bank, they haven't even got the $6 billion there to give him. They can only give him half. And then what's that going to do to all the rest of us that are paying storage and think we've got money in there? This is why all of these newsletter writers are telling you, stick with physicals, take delivery. If you've got gold futures, if you've got pieces of paper, cash them in and get physicals and do it right now. Because when this thing turns turtle, which at some point in time it will, you're not going to get paid. See how simple that is? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. Now, when this happens, don't you think that's going to cause a lot of hate and discontent in the world? Yeah, let me tell you. Now, going on here, they're talking about the margins here. And to suppress the gold price effectively, the manipulators would have to stop inflating the money supply, which they can't do because money creation is the beating heart of their power. That's why they operate off a line in the sand. The manipulators want to prevent a hyperinflationary explosion, so they're trying to contain it. And they do that every day, day in and day out. Now, that was most easily seen in the last 9 years in the rising gold market. Over and over, the manipulators have drawn a line, beating gold back whenever it threatened that line. First, it was 300, and then when they could no longer hold that line, they drew back to 400, then 5, 7, 1,000, 1,200. Now, they're much less clever than I think. They can cannily wait until the market becomes overbought on its own before they expend their ammunition. Observers who lay every zig and zag at the manipulator's door simply don't understand what's happening, and they become gullible for all sorts of silly rumors. No, the manipulators don't care about their inevitable long-term defeat. They only aim at managing the crisis. So go home tonight winning. Only from the long-term standpoint has their gold market manipulation failed to work. From their short-term standpoint, it's been very effective. And slowing the market's rise so that other manipulations, like suppressing short-term interest rates while inflating the dollar, a far greater strategic undertaking, would not blow up in their faces. And logically, their manipulation shouldn't work against itself. They can't print money to prop up the stock market and at the same time suppress the gold price. Or do they even care? And the answer is no. So let's add a nuance here. The manipulators are subtle enough and clever enough to let the iron cool while the other heats. So while one iron is in the fire heating, they got the other iron out. One crisis at a time. Most important, one first. That's they take the hot one. Last spring, the stock market hit a low. And taking IRAs and 401ks down 35% to 50%, that's a loss likely to leave the investing natives restless. So whether the plunge protection team intervened or not, stocks should have been raised by Bernanke's colossal money injections in the fall of 2008, yet it didn't. For the time being, at least, the goal was save the stock market and gold to be damned, as earlier it had been fix the liquidity crisis and the dollar to be damned. Gold rose right along with the Dow, a long-term anomaly, but happening in the short term anyway. Rising gold was the price of raising the stock market, a price the manipulators were willing to concede. So was the plunge protection team active? Recently, Dr. Robert McHugh of Mainline Investors checked the stock market's performance back to the spring of 2009 lows and found that 70% of the up days had fallen on the week's first trading day. Tuesday, the 16th of February, was the 21st week out of 24 that the market rose on the first day. That's 88% of the time. Not necessarily proof of a conspiracy, but it's a right odd coincidence, don't you think? You know, when Goldman Sachs and these banks, you know, are on their trading desks and they pull out winners, you know, their investments are successful 80, 90% of the time. Hey, doesn't that send you a signal? Now, I'm not here to tell you what to do or how to do it. I just wanted to point you in the direction. There's another side to the story here. Another side to the story. God bless Brian Williams and Katie Kirk, you know? But they're not giving you the whole story. They're not lying to you all the time. They just don't give you all the facts all the time. Now, there's another player in the game, and that's the creator of the universe, God Almighty himself. And he's using these guys, and he's got an agenda. And so I, from time to time, point out God's agenda. And this great tribulation is coming down on us. It's a punishment for you and I. And we're going to get tuned up because we broke the law. We breached our contract. So I like to bring this up from time to time and suggest that maybe we should go back to our original contract. That's the contract with God Almighty. And let's fulfill the terms and conditions of our deal and see if we can't get the benefits, those 33 articulable benefits that come from that old covenant contract. Again, this is the Money Changer. Phone number is 888-218-9226. Again, 888-218-9226. Franklin Sanders, the Money Changer. Hey, I'm out of time. I've got to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's a signal that says my time's up. I got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.